Praise the Lord. Thank you, ladies. Wasn't that a blessing? I'll tell you, that was so good. And it's the, as Uncle Charlie used to say, it's the go along with the sermon song, kind of. How many of you remember Uncle Charlie? Anybody? Well, a few older folks, I guess. But anyway, the go along with the sermon song. But older than some. Anyway, but Psalm 24. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Aren't you glad he's on our side? Well, I was thinking this morning how glad I am that he's on my side. I couldn't help but think of Dana and Debbie up here singing and that song, and their dad, of course, just went to heaven not that long ago. And, you know, it's if it wasn't for the Lord, how would we make it? There's no way. We would not. We would be miserable, and thank God he's on our side. And it starts off with, in verse 7, it says, our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. I want to talk to you this morning about just these three words, snared by Satan. And I praise the Lord that I can say today, along with the psalmist, my soul has escaped. Amen. I'm so glad at the age of 17, my soul escaped his snare for hell. I'm so glad about that. And most of you here can say the same thing. That is our testimony. It is our testimony that, hey, we're free. Praise God. We're not in a snare. We sometimes get tripped up. Sometimes we get snared again. But praise God, we can always be free, and we are free. Ultimately in the Lord, and I praise the Lord for that. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Thank you so much, Father, for this service. Thank you for the opportunity we have again to open up your book and to hear preaching from it. And I pray that you'll be with all our junior churches and be with our nurseries, and may your power rest upon this place, that decisions would be made, that lives would be changed, and certainly here in the auditorium that we would listen and you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you again, Lord, for letting us be free, for escaping the snare of the fowler. And I pray that you will speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you've seen cartoons or different things. I'm thinking back to some cartoons when somebody would try to catch an animal, and they'd set up a little box with a stick under it, and they'd put the bait, and for a bird, obviously, you'd put bird seed or something like that. You'd put that underneath that box, and you'd have that stick, and then you'd tie a little string to that stick, and you'd lay down in the weed somewhere, and then you'd wait for whatever animal, and in this case, the bird, to come around there and see that seed and start pecking there, and then you'd pull that stick out, and the trap would be set for the whatever animal it might be. As I read this passage, I think about that. Of course, the birds here in verse 7 could be a bird to be eaten, could be a bird to be sacrificed. But the fowler, is he's hired to catch the birds. And certainly in this day, a box could have been used, a net maybe, a cage of some kind. And always there would be bait to get that bird to enter into that trap, if you will. And once the bird gets that bait and starts eating that bait, then the net comes down, or the box comes down, the cage, whatever it might be. And in my mind, I see the wings start to flap and heart beats faster, and the bird is snared by the fowler. And if you go fishing, it's the same idea. You have some kind of bait. You want to attract the fish to bite that hook, so that when you detect that fish on that hook, you set the hook and literally pull the hook into the mouth, and it hooks the fish, and the fish is caught. Well, certainly the comparison here would be Satan is out to snare us. He's trying to trap us. He's out to ruin our lives. Starts when we're first born. He doesn't want us to get saved. He does everything he can. He wants to ruin families so that parents don't ever go to church. He doesn't want a child to hear the gospel. Have you ever thought, just when you hand out a gospel tract, how you've made the devil pretty upset? Because you might have messed up his plan. When you knock on somebody's door, you messed up his plan somehow. When you talk to somebody at work, I mean, here's a guy that he didn't grow up in church. He never went to church. He had nothing to do with church. And all of a sudden, there you are in his workplace, and you start to talk to him about the Lord. And I'm sure the devil, you know, he gets upset about that. He didn't like that. And because his goal is to take as many people to hell as he can. And certainly we can see how he has trapped. He has used his bait, and he's trapped so many people. And by the way, if you don't believe that, go soul winning sometime. You'll see people that are literally, I mean, they're ensnared by the devil. They're ensnared by his teaching. They're ensnared by so many things. And it's like they're in a trap. It's like the bird that is flapping his wings, and they just can't seem to get out. And I want to praise the Lord. At the age of 17, I realized that God certainly can get me out of the mess that I was in. And you know what? He can get us out of any mess we're in even now, any kind of mess. Because I got news for you. When you get saved, the devil doesn't, he doesn't quit trying to trap you. Now, he can't do anything with your soul. He can't touch it. He cannot take you to hell. It's impossible if you're saved. He cannot do it. But boy, he'll do everything he can to catch a leg and to trap you in his cage and to get you messed up. Why? Because he doesn't want you to do anything for God. So he wants everybody to go to hell, but once somebody gets saved, now he wants to try to keep that saved person from doing something for God. And so I just have several points about this that I wanted to talk to you about. Number one is Satan and his servants. Satan and his servants. They obviously here are the fowlers. And in verse 3, it says, "Then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us." David here talks about this being men. These are enemies in his example here. But the truth is, you know, Satan is certainly our enemy, and there's no question about that. And he has servants all around that are our enemies too. If somebody's serving the devil, they're not your friend. You know, if a human being, if demons, angels, whatever you want to call them, fallen angels, if they're serving the devil, they're not on your side. You know, that's why it always amazes me. Somebody wants to get involved with Ouija boards and everything, and they want to see this obvious demonic influence move that little thing around to spell out something for them, or they want to visit somebody that is some kind of a fortune teller or something like that, and they think, well, you know, these spirits. Well, those spirits are not your friends. Those demonic forces, that is not your friend. And Satan is trying to trap us. He's trying to snare us all the time. David said here in verse 4, the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. And then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who had not given us as a prey to their teeth. You know, because, again, that's the whole idea. Satan is a roaring lion. I mean, he has one goal for you, and that's to be chewed up and spit out. He has a goal for us, and that is to do everything he can, if you're not saved, to keep you lost and go into hell, and if you are saved, to make you totally ineffective. By the way, if he can get you in a snare and a trap as a Christian so you can never do his will, he'll do that. Doesn't bother him at all. If he could get you in a snare or a trap and render you useless as a Christian, that doesn't bother him. No way. Satan and his servants, a lot of snares. If you're not saved here today, and most of the folks here, I believe, are saved, but if you're not, that snare, that trap results in a place called hell. Certainly that is not a good prospect. When a Christian gets snared, it'll slow him down. Sometimes it will render him useless, especially for that time. But the fact is, Satan uses bait, just like we might use bait. Hunters use bait. There's certain things you're supposed to do and not supposed to do, so I don't know about all that. But fishermen use bait, and certainly the fowler would use bait. And why would we be shocked that Satan uses bait? He's got bait out there, and there's traps all over the place. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that Satan has got traps out there for you and I. About the time you say, well, I like this, you better be careful. Isn't that what the little fish is saying when he's swimming along and there's a worm in front? Oh, look at that worm. Boy, this is good. It's not about to be good. Right? I mean, honestly, that is exactly right. So we have got to always be on guard because Satan, look, Satan, the bait out there is not to please you. The bait out there, it's not, I just want to be a blessing to that fish. I want to feed him a worm. You're not interested in being a blessing to fish. You're not interested in the fish's welfare. You're interested in catching the fish. The fowler was not putting bird seed down there to make the bird happy. The fowler was putting bird seed down there to trap that bird so that he could eat the bird. You know, Satan, with his bait, he doesn't plan on feeding anybody. He doesn't, he has one goal, and that is to capture. Satan has one goal, that is to ensnare us. Satan has one goal, and that is to catch us. Satan has one goal, and that is to catch the lost person so that he goes to hell. Satan has a goal, and that is to catch the Christian in his trap, in his snare, so that the Christian cannot do the will of God, so the Christian does not do the will of God, so the Christian, their life is miserable instead of rejoicing, so that the Christian is ineffective, when in reality we have the power of God is available to us. But so many Christians wouldn't know what that is because they've given in and they've taken the bait. Oh, if he can catch a lost person so that they go to hell, or if he can slow down a Christian, then certainly his goal is reached. Understand, so many pleasant things all around us. Look out. Look out. Have you ever been fishing somewhere where there's like a whole line of people along the shore and they're all lined up? And you know, in my mind, I think that the fish are saying, hey, it's a golden corral of underwater, you know? You know, it's buffet time. It's just one right after the other. Hey, if it looks too good, it might be. Be careful. Honestly, Satan has his traps for you and I. They are set. I mean, sir, you know, at work, he's going to send somebody along trying to mess up your marriage. It's inevitable. Ma'am, he's going to send somebody along trying to mess up your marriage. You folks on the internet, look out. Boy, the prince of the power of the air, he's in that air. I mean, there's so much out there in the bait, and it's like, wow, it looks good. It's like the email that you got from Prince Shahib Alawala over in Ethiopia. I got one. How many of you have got one of those before? Yeah, and he got your name because he found out that you're somehow related to him. And in the relationship, you way down the line somehow, you have inherited $10 million. Usually it's a little more than that. And boy, by the time you start reading it, you're salivating now. You're saying, man, this looks good. This guy, and the guy says, this is so simple. And usually the English is a little broken, you know, and so you know this is genuine. This is the prince from Ethiopia, no doubt about it. And he's got millions of dollars, and he wants to give them to you. And all of a sudden, you know, he's got this story told, and there's only one thing you've really caught on to, and that is this, $10 million. And immediately you think, oh, I could give some of that to the church. That's spiritual, you know, that's how that works. And boy, you're so excited about that thing. And his story is so good. All you have to do, it's always that, all you have to do is send him several thousand dollars so that he can pay for the box to ship your money in. Whatever. Right? Yeah. And you're salivating on that. Yeah, it's just like that fish. Look at that juicy worm. Well, actually, it's more like, you know, I mean, you are so excited about that thing. Folks, honestly, be careful. Be careful. Because everybody's, we actually, I don't know, it was a year, everything I keep saying it was a year ago, it in reality was like 4 years ago. I said that the other day, and I said, when was that? I said, just a couple months ago, and Brenda said, oh, yeah, it was a year and a half ago. But we actually got a check in the mail. And this thing, you know, and it was for like $2,500, and all we had to do is we'd cash that and then send $500 of it back out of our account. And I'm looking at that thing, I said, huh. But you know, you salivate a little bit, right? You know, you look at like the little bird is looking at all that bird seed. It's a big pile of bird seed, you know. I can almost see the coyote watching, right, with his little string and a little pile of bird seed, and the roadrunner comes up and he stops and goes. Anyway, I can see it happening. That's how I see myself holding that check. You know what I'm saying? And so you go put that check in your bank, and by the time they tell you that it's no good, you've already sent $500 out of your account, and guess what? You just lost $500. You know, and the fisherman says, you know, and you're caught. Right? Yeah. Let me tell you, Satan hates you. He hates us. And if you're not saved today, understand, he wants you in hell. He wants everybody you love in hell. Okay? If you're saved today, he is so angry, he cannot take you to hell. He cannot do a thing about your soul. But, oh, if he can trap you, if he can snag your foot and just hold you back from doing something, if he can put stumbling blocks in front of you, he'll do everything he can. Number one, Satan and his servants. And he has a huge, huge army that he uses against us all over the place. I'm telling you, he's out to ruin any plan that we might have to do something for him. Number one is Satan and his servants. Number two is the snare. The snare is different for all because the bait is different. The fowler is wise. The fowler, and when I say wise, I don't mean in a godly way because obviously we're talking about Satan, but he knows things. He considers the habits and the desires of the bird. The fowler isn't going to put something as bait that is not going to be attractive to that particular bird. The fisherman is not going to use, it's amazing the lures that fishermen use and the different kinds of bait that fishermen use. And they're going to consider the habits and the desires of whatever it is they're trying to catch, whatever it is they're trying to trap. They're going to use that type of thing to try to lure them in. They're going to use that kind of bait. And so Satan knows that. He does the same thing. Understand, and I just talked to somebody about this recently, Satan is not omniscient. Satan does not know what you're thinking. Now, you may think that he does, but he's not God. He does not know what you're thinking. He cannot read our minds. Okay, but here's what he does know, and here's what he does do. He watches us, and he knows what we give into and what we don't. Whatever you were tempted with, you will be tempted with again, especially if you fell. Whatever you did before you got saved, believe me, he's going to be trying to get you back to it all the rest of your Christian life. And whatever it is we are weakened or we're weak at, and the areas that we're weak in, our habits and our desires, and he's learned all that. Just like a fowler would to try to catch a certain kind of bird, just like a fisherman would to catch a certain kind of fish. He knows our habits and our desires. And sin is the snare that grabs hold of us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So sin, it's already got a pretty steep price tag on it. Something dies. It might be a couple of days of your life. It might be a couple of years of your life. Something dies. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Thank God Jesus paid that price for us so we could be saved. But understand, sin is the snare. Why does a lost person stay lost? I mean, there are lots and lots of reasons, but it all comes down to one thing, and that is sin. What will keep the Christian from doing the will of God? Sin. What will keep you from witnessing to that lost loved one? Do you understand? There are people all around you that if you'd talk to them, they'd probably get saved. I mean, all around us, there's people. If we would just talk to them, what is the sin? Sin is obviously the snare and the bait. Now, just follow me here. It's always going to be something we like. Always. Okay? I don't know about you, but I remember when I was little, real, real little, and we'd go fishing sometimes. And, I learned that when dad really didn't care about me catching anything, or grandpa didn't care about me catching anything. They gave me stuff like lettuce. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, like a piece of a vegetable or something. It's amazing how fish don't care about that, kind of like others. But they don't. They don't. You know, who has the great big night crawler? Well, you know, when you're little, you kind of eventually figure out, hey, they're catching all the fish. I'm just getting my line wet, you know. They really didn't care. And that's because you got to use bait that they want. Satan knows what you like. Satan knows what you dislike. Satan knows what it is here's what he does. First, he tempts. Then he trips. Then he tangles. Then he traps. And that's exactly what he's trying to do in every one of our lives. If you're not saved, he wants you in hell. If you're a Christian, he wants to keep you from doing anything. I think about several things that are sinful things the Bible talks about. How about the love of the world? You know, a lost person just doesn't want to give that up. It's amazing how you can talk to somebody about getting saved, never saying a thing about anything you have to give up. Just saying, the right soul winning is just telling somebody, hey, we're all sinners. And because of sin, we deserve punishment in hell. Wouldn't you like to get saved? Jesus died for you, and he'll save you today. Well, I don't want to give up my smoking. Nobody ever said anything about smoking. Oh, you know, I don't want to give up my liquor. Well, nobody told you had to give up your liquor. Oh, you know, I like the nightclub. I don't want to give. And it's amazing how, what is that? It's that love of the world. It's a snare. It is a snare. That's why God said, love not the world. That's why he told us that. Why? Because it was a snare to me before I got saved. It's a snare to me as a Christian as well. Because it's like that old world is constantly pulling on me. And it's constantly pulling on you too. It pulls on us in different ways. There are things that I loved in the world that you don't even care about. And you'd look at me like, why would you care about that? And vice versa. But whatever that bait is that's dangling in front of your face or is in a little pile underneath the trap that is set, understand, it's something you and I like. It's something you like. And that love of the world. You know, the love of the world. Well, I would serve God, but what about the money? Love not the world. Love not the world. You know, money can entrap. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. And money has ruined many Christians from ever doing anything for God. Some sin that we just like. I mean, there are any number of things. You know, carnality, just the fact that we are so carnal. Love of the world. You know, well, I don't want to give up this thing. And it's amazing to me too, as we think about Christians and Christians in the altar call and all that. Oh, you know, I don't want to give up this. How many times is that not even the issue? You know? But you know deep down that thing is a snare to you. It's a snare. It wasn't even what the preacher preached on. I don't know how many decisions never get made because our leg is entrapped in a trap and we just can't make that decision because, well, I like this thing. The love of the world. The fear of man. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man is a snare. It brings a snare in our lives. If we're always worried about what everybody else, how many people stay lost because they're worried about what somebody may say. When I got saved, it was none of my family was saved. I mean, other than my sister, my dad, my mom, my grandparents, everybody I knew, all my family, you know, from both sides, there was nobody that was a Christian. We didn't grow up that way. None of my friends were saved. I mean, I was with a rough bunch, like some of you, you know, and none of them. It wasn't like we stood around and talked about, well, you know, yeah, we ought to get saved. I mean, we talked about wicked stuff. Boy, how many people will never trust Christ as Savior because they're afraid of what their buddies will say? You've heard it before. It's amazing how many times you'll hear this when you go soul winning. Me and my buddies will all be together in hell. I got news for you. You won't be buddies in hell. You know, oh, we'll all be drinking beer in hell. Hey, the rich man in hell couldn't even get a drop of water. But that fear of man, that's a snare. It brings a snare. A fear of man brings a snare to a Christian. All the heartbreak of so many because they're so afraid of what everybody else thinks. It happens with taking a stand. Brother Chase mentioned this on Wednesday night, gave a testimony. Zach Chrisman preached in chapel, did an excellent job. And just a good message, but it's tough when you preach to your peers. Always tough. But you know, the fear of man bringeth this. Well, what's he going to think? What's he going to think? But every one of us faces it. Every one of us that dangles in front of us. Every one of us, it's in that little pile underneath that trap that, I'm going to get away from this thing. I'm not going to do God's will. I'm not going to do this because I'm so afraid of what everybody else thinks. The fear of man, pride of life. Psalm 73, verse 6, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Literally, traps us. Pride keeps the lost lost because they won't admit their sin. Pride, like the Laodicean Christians, they didn't need anything. We don't need anything. We have money. We have our homes. We have all these. We have need of nothing. And God said, excuse me. Uh-huh. But that pride, it happens at the altar call time. It happens as we're reading our Bibles and we need to get something right with God. It happens often. By the way, God told the Laodiceans, you think you have this, but you are poor, miserable, blind, naked. You have nothing. And it reminds me of Jesus' words, without me, you're nothing. And honestly, if we would be honest, but you know that pride thing, it's taught in our schools, secular humanism. You are the greatest. And you are becoming the greatest. Pride. Remember this, the bait is something that you like. The trap is always going to be disguised, just like the hook. You know, when I used to fish as a young boy, I remember I used to learn how to put that worm on there and you could never see the hook. I mean, I'd get that worm on there so well, and you can do that, you can string that on there, and you can't even see the hook. No idea there's a hook there. I promise you, after all these years, Satan knows what he's doing. The snare is certainly out there ready to take anybody. It could take. You know, it breaks my heart how many here will not be here because of whatever. Because they'll get trapped. They'll get snared by the devil. They'll get out in the world and get messed up. And some of our young people, some of our bus kids. It happens all the time. How sad. How sad. Satan and his servants, number one. Number two, the snare. Number three is our soul. That's the captive here. Our soul. Verse 7, our soul is escaped. Our soul gets caught in sin. In verse 4, it says, and describes how this is, the waters that overwhelmed us. There's somebody that's overwhelmed because of sin, because of the price that sin always charges on our lives. It could be time. It could be money. It could be relationship. But there's always a price tag on sin. Doesn't matter what the sin is. Doesn't matter how big the sin is. There's always a price tag. And the guy that cries aloud and spares not many times becomes a bad guy. But I'm telling you, he's trying to keep you from taking the bait. Because I don't want your life to be overwhelmed. It says here, the waters that overwhelmed us. In my mind, I think about the stream had gone over our soul. I think about how the rushing waters, it's like when that hook is set and all of a sudden that fish is going one way and now he's being pulled the other way. It's like that bird that is caught in that net or in that cage and they're trapped and it just happens so fast. And I'm telling you, folks, you'd be amazed how fast it can happen. in our lives as we take the bait. Folks say, I would never do that. I promise you, when you're in that trap, you wish you hadn't done it. But before, you need to take heed lest you fall. I've heard it so many times. Oh, I would never. That's not me. No, that's not you now. But that bait's dangling right there. I got news for you. When you take the bait, you'd be amazed how fast everything happens. Verse 5 talks about the proud waters had gone over our soul. It's deep. I mean, if you're here today without Christ, you've never been saved. Think about why you won't get saved. You've heard it. Think about why won't you get saved? But it's deep. Why did it take me so long to get saved? Have you ever contemplated your own salvation? If you want to try to understand lost people, think about yourself. Amen. When you were lost. Why wouldn't I get saved? I sweat through I don't know how many invitations. I mean, literally, sweat. I mean, it literally would, I could feel it dripping down my sides. I was so shook up. Why didn't I get saved? Why wouldn't I just get saved? What was it? I mean, what are we afraid of? It's a trap. We're caught. Christian, why won't you get right? All over the room. I mean, any given service, there's folks need to get right with God. Why won't you get right? I'm telling you, you're trapped. What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know, I got the bait. You ever think, you know, honestly, you get the bait. You ever catch a fish and the worm is still kind of intact, you know, and that fish is on there. It's amazing how he's not chomping at the worm anymore. He's got something else on his mind. Yeah, you know, if you ever saw a bird in a trap or an animal in a trap, he's not eating the bait anymore. He's trying to get out. Yeah. Once you get trapped, honestly, in hell, I don't think anybody's going to care about the bait. Their mind's going to be on the pain of hell, the suffering, the sorrow, the hurt. In hell, pride won't matter. Worldliness won't matter. It'll be nothing. For the Christian, you know, you think about it. I mean, whatever bait that you took, it's just not worth it once things really start to progress, or should I say regress, in your life. Boy, you know, I don't know how many people I mean, over the years of being a pastor, how many folks, you know, this looked like a real good thing, but it may look like a good thing, but it's out to destroy your life. I mean, God isn't going to send you to hell because you're saved, but you can't be used of God once you get caught in the trap. It's amazing how often it's the same snare that kept you from getting saved. That's why we ought to always just think through our salvation. What was it? What is it? And you're going to be tempted in that same way, the snare. Number 4, we see the Savior. Praise God, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. Praise God, the snare is broken. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord. I mean, if it's not for the Lord, 1 John 3, verse 8 says, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. I don't care what the trap, I don't care what the snare, I don't care how bound you may be, God is able to deliver you. Always. You're not saved, God can deliver you. You're a drug addict, God can deliver you. You're an alcoholic, God can deliver you. Your life is a mess, God can deliver you. Call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. And he breaks the snare. He puts a hole in the net. He bends the hook. Whatever you want to say, he gets you out. Amen. I'm so glad at the age of 17, he got me out. I mean, I just rejoice that he got me out. But you know, as a Christian, he still, you know, he'll break the snare. Oh, I know, we're not going to hell, but it's sad how we still get tempted, we still give in often, and we get caught in another trap, often very similar, where we're just not doing anything for God. Praise God, we can get out of the snare. Romans 6, look at it real quick. Romans 6, just about done. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. I love this passage of Scripture. Romans 6 and 7, such a blessing. So down to earth as to what we really are and what we go through. Romans 6, 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You can get out of the snare today. You can get out of the trap today. You can be free today if you just will. It's just up to you. It's up to any of us. You say, well, I've been saved for years and I can't believe I gave in to that thing and I can't believe I'm caught in this trap. But you don't have to stay caught in the trap. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. It does not have the right to sit on the throne. The only right it has is what you give it. And if we let that sin sit on the throne, then it's shame on us, because it's going to take us down. It's going to take us down. And once you get out of the snare, avoid the bait. That's why he said over and over, read the New Testament over and over, watch, watch, watch. I tell you, watch, watch. Be looking around. Know how to spot those kinds of things. They tell us all the time. My bank, I bank online, and it's telling me about, what is it, phishing, PHI. You know, they come up with these new words all the time, phishing. And they're after trying to catch people and trying to get you to click on this and click on that. I remember the first time I got something in my email and it said, David Rogers sent a tiny YouTube video to you. And I thought, well, if it's tiny, I wouldn't be able to see it anyway. I'll ask him about it. And I asked him, he said, Dad, don't click on any of that stuff. I don't know what's a tiny YouTube video. I don't know. But you know, this is my son. I trust him. What are they doing? They're fishing. They're trying to catch me, you know? They're trying to catch you. Yeah. Yeah, I wish people just go out and get a job instead of doing stuff like that. But anyway, that's another story. Look, listen, avoid the bait. You know one of the best ways to avoid bait? Be full. Amen. I mean, seriously. You know when you throw, I can have the fattest night crawlers. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? Get them on that worm, and I mean, they're still alive and still wiggling. Boy, that's the best. Honestly, you throw that thing out there, and nothing even, I mean, you can't even feel them looking at it. You ever fish like that? Drives me nuts. You know, what is wrong with these fish? And sure enough, somebody comes, oh, they're full. Yeah. But you know, I'd like to think that as the devil dangles down his bait, or he has his little piles of feed all around here, I'd like him to walk away from here and the demons of hell all say, it looks like they're all full. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, man. Amen. Amen. Yeah, be full. You won't want the bait. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Just be so full of God and doing right. You look, the bait doesn't even tempt you. Amen. Amen. Number one, we talked about Satan and his servants. Number two, we talked about the snare. Number three, we talked about our soul. Number four, we talked about the Savior. Number five, we talked about the salvation. That is literally what it says here. Our soul is escaped. Escaped. Always there is a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. The escape as a bird. How many times are we likened to an eagle? Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I think about the eagle and I think, you know, praise God, we can escape. If you're not saved today, you can escape hell and you can be free. If you're a Christian today, you don't have to be in bondage to anyone. You can fly away. Fly away. Praise the Lord. Verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord. It's His name. And we need to call on His name. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David in Psalm 51, what a beautiful psalm of a man getting right with God and getting out of the trap and being free. Salvation is active, folks. Salvation's very, very active. It saves us from sin's punishment, but it keeps saving us. It keeps saving us from all kinds of trouble. You know, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Salvation, God's salvation. Do you understand? In that salvation, he'll keep rescuing you. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. The escape is a bird. It is offered to us. I think today there's maybe somebody here that's never been saved. Wow. The Savior's made a way. He's broken the chains of sin. But you need to call on Him, and He'll save you. Christian, understand, as a saved person today, you're going to heaven. Glory to God. That's a wonderful thing. But listen to me. Some sin's got hold of you. Some bait has attracted you, and you started taking that bait, and now you're trapped. You never have to walk out trapped. No Christian has to leave here where sin is running your life. You can have victory. I wish you would today. I really wish that you would. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Snared by Satan. Maybe you're here as a lost person, you've been snared by Satan. Maybe as a Christian today, there's something in your life, you say, boy, I've been snared by the devil. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there someone say, preacher, please pray for me. God spoke into my heart, pray for me. Raise your hand all over, just slip it up. Father, thank you for being our Savior. And thank you for the salvation. Not only, Lord, being saved and going to heaven and being saved from hell's punishment, but God, the salvation that is an active salvation. And how many times you've rescued me from my own stupidity. You've rescued me from my own desire. You've rescued me from my own errors. Thank you, God, so much for being a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Now, please, I pray you'll save those that are lost today. And I pray for Christians that decisions will be made to get out of the snare. In Jesus' name, amen.